I'm Haley.
I'm John.
And I'm Will.
And we're from Crimson Comet, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
Everybody, and welcome to the Audibly
Exquisite Podcast, episode 81. I'm Mike Noren with
Peter Melnick.
And Peter Melnick, tell the good folks at home what we're all about.
What Audibly Exquisite, a proud production of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network, GunnaGeek.com, is all about is we are your one-stop source for all things geek culture, be it movies, television, video games, comic books, you name it.
We're gonna cover it.
And let's see, you can find us on a wide variety of social media platforms, including Facebook.com/AudiblyExquisite. You can find us on Twitter, @TheAEPodcast, myself, @PeterMelnick.
And @Mike_Noren.
You can find us on Instagram, @AudiblyExquisite. You can also find us on the worldwide interwebs at www.audiblyexquisite.com. You can also listen to the show on a wide variety of streaming platforms such as Podomatic, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and also be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes, 5-star if you're ever so inclined. And also, finally, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/audiblyexquisite. And when you go on Patreon, you're going to be doing the tiered system where you can pay as little as $2 a month or as high as $50 a month. And you'll be supporting this here fine program that we pump into your ear holes. So, some rewards include the ability to, as low as, get the video newsletter, which we've got to get to doing real soon. And then it goes as high as the ability to guest host on this show for the $50 a month tier. So, once again, go to patreon.com/audiblyexquisite.
And if you contribute $50, we'll pick one lucky winner and take you out to lunch during East Coast Comic Con.
It's a possibility.
It's a definite ability.
And also, at the end of this here fine program, we're going to be joined by movie legend Sid Haig. This is an interview we actually got to conduct all the way back in August at Monsters and Robots in New Jersey. So, we get to talk to him about, you know, his work in the Rob Zombie movies, but also his work involved in like things like Star Trek in the original 1960s series and Batman 66. So now, Mike, let's get into the topics at hand. Yes.
The first topic.
So first off on our docket, Lucasfilm just gave their final say regarding Carrie Fisher in regards to, you know, the future Star Wars films. And myself, I'm completely fine with this. They are no longer going to be using her image for a little while, I guess. They were going to be like, there was rumors, a CGI version. Mike, yourself, what do you think of that?
I think it's tacky.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw Rogue One, you remember at the end the CGI Carrie Fisher, which still, in all honesty, didn't work that well. Like, it still looked kind of fake, you know?
It's still something they're trying to master.
Yeah, and it's like, they tried with, you know, the stuff with Peter Cushing, but I felt, you know, it's still experimental. It's still, you know, give it time.
Mm-hmm.
But in all honesty, I'm completely fine with them not utilizing Carrie in the film, like in future stuff, because then it's going to lead to maybe something a lot more interesting, in my opinion, how they're going to take, like, if they kill her character off in episode 9, because they already completed episode 8. That's, you know, it's in a post-production right now.
They have to do something. They can't just be like, oh, there's no Princess Leia here.
Well, what I think it's going to be maybe even an off-screen death.
Probably.
You know, it's an off-screen death. It's going to be that.
I think they might just get like an actress or something. If they, I don't know what they're going to do. They might just show like her on a ship, be like, oh, hey, look, there's Princess Leia's ship.
I think what's going to end up happening is if they kill her character off, it's going to be the result of Kylo Ren. Unless, you know, because we don't know anything about episode 8 yet. And he might turn to the light side again. You never know. But if this happens, he kills off his mother in the final movie. He killed off his mother and father. He really went to the dark side.
I'd say so.
So if that happens, that is what I think is going to happen. And it makes sense. It really makes sense to be able to do that kind of, that kind of storytelling, I guess, you know? Mm-hmm. I just think if they... It's going to be tacky if they, you know, use CGI and, like, use a different actress. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to see it. It's disrespectful to her memory, you know? And I get, like, that's one of the things she probably would have made fun of, you know, if she was still alive. Like, oh, you're going to do that to me? Really?
It's weird. I don't think they should do it. Well, obviously, they're not going to do it, so.
Yeah. And one of the things about it that I found, you know, it's morbid in a way. Like, I find it morbid to think about it, but... Do you know Disney actually got money for insurance for her passing?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, there.
That it's such a weird thing to say, and it's a weird thing to think about, but they made money off of her death. And it's like all they are is just a prop, essentially. You know what I mean?
In long end, yeah.
Like that's why...
Make my money.
You know, with Harrison Ford, like him leaving the franchise, maybe, you know? He's no longer going to be needed. He doesn't have to worry about that. But think about it. You know, Mark Hamill, they see a dollar sign with Mark Hamill. It's a weird, weird, you know, thing to think about.
He's one of their biggest moneymakers, probably.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like, especially he's like the flagship of the franchise. Like, when you think of Star Wars, yeah, you think of Darth Vader, but who else do you think of?
Luke.
Yeah, so they're very much, you know, when you think about it, identifiable figures in these franchises. And honestly, that's... what they wanted to be. They wanted to be these characters that, you know, it's easily identifiable with the average consumer, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's one of those weird things about it. But I mean, like, look at, you know, all the different franchises they have. Like, when you look at Captain America, he's easily interchangeable because it's only a little bit of his face, you know, being seen. Like, you can fill in any other actor. When you think of Iron Man, you can just cover him up with the mask. You know what I mean? The Hulk is just CGI. And, like, a lot of these people, you know, in the Marvel movies, they're not really a face, you know what I mean? It can easily be interchanged. And, like, look at, you know, Peter Dinklage, you know, look at him as an actor. They are saying now he might be in the Marvel Universe next.
I've seen that.
Who do you think they could have him play? There's, like, so many people, and because he's rumored right now, there was an info dump on supposedly 4chan about it, that Peter Dinklage may be one of the people.
I've seen that. Maybe a Mike MODOK or something?
Yeah, MODOK is the, like, heavily positioned one. Like, a lot of people are saying it's going to be MODOK. And other people...
You know, it's funny. He was already in a franchise movie. He played in Days of Futures Past.
He was Bolivar Trask.
Yeah.
Who was originally an African-American man prior, so that must have been a hell of a change.
Was he short in the comic?
No, he was just a regular scientist.
Weird.
Yeah.
Choice. So, very weird choice.
They just wanted to, like, mix things up, in all honesty. And
that's a hell of a mix.
Yeah.
From tall black man to short dwarf.
Pretty much, you know? But, like, I think if they have to do it, and I made this statement on Twitter, and I immediately recanted it. I think Peter Dinklage could play The Watcher. There's only one problem with that. He's a Fantastic Four X-Men character, and who owns the rights to The Watcher?
Ugh.
So he would, you know... But then again... We're getting Ego the Living Planet in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So if that's the case, guess what ends up happening with that? We end up, you know, maybe an exchange with them again, like they did with Deadpool 1, you know, where Teenage Negasonic Warhead, her powers changed from the comic into, you know, what it was in the movie.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, you know, if something happens with Dinklage's character. But, you know, there's been fan art so far of what MODOK could look like with, you know, Dinklage playing the character. I don't know if I could see him being MODOK for some reason. Like, could you see that kind of goofy character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Next to a talking raccoon?
Touche, and a talking tree.
And a duck?
So, yeah, I mean,
next to a guy with a hammer that flies around?
My thing is with it, it just seems like such, even for that world, it seems like so far out there, you know?
Yeah, I hope to get the rights of Silver Surfer back.
The fact he's not involved with this, you know, the Thanos storyline.
Who knows?
That would be nice, but I mean, in all honesty, the Thanos storyline with, you know, Silver Surfer, it feels incomplete. But the way they've done this so far, it has worked. It really has worked.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, there's a lot of elements that are missing, you know, from like the Jim Starlin comic, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet and everything. But they have... They have done an impressive job, like, especially linking everything in. Like, I love, again, hearing, you know, a lot of the hardcore DC fanboys go on saying Marvel rushes everything. That was my favorite, like, statement.
You don't say.
We're slowly, like, over the course of three phases, we're in phase three right now, they finally just got the time gem in Doctor Strange. It took them that long. There's still another gem missing, I believe. So it's going to take, like, it's going to take a while, but,
yeah.
Like, I love, you know, how long it's taken, because the Marvel Cinematic Universe started 9 years ago this year. 9 fucking years ago, if you can believe that. I mean, like, when you saw Iron Man, did you think that it would develop into this whole universe of, you know, stories?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I kind of, like, had a, you know, feeling what they were going with.
I'm so used to the whole, you know, like, stop, reboot. I thought, like, it wouldn't even last past, like, maybe, you know, three or four movies.
I think keep going with it.
I think it's great. I genuinely think it's great.
I mean, all these guys are kind of at the age where they could still play for another 10 years, probably.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Maybe Robert Downey Jr. I don't know. I mean, he's only 50.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he's definitely one of those, you know, he plays the part so friggin' well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know, they definitely got it right. And, you know, speaking of the info dumps with, you know, this movie, another thing that recently got released is Quicksilver might be making his return. We don't know how, we don't know why, we don't know where, we don't know when, but he will supposedly be in Avengers Infinity War.
Don't they have a resurrection stone?
I don't know offhand.
I think they do.
But like somebody said, you know, maybe he could be in a Vision, he could be in this, he could be in that.
Be in the Vision?
Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, just really, really interesting things that could work for this, you know? But I like the idea of him coming back, just, you know, in general, you know. Hold on. Now, when you were watching the movie, by the way, how did you feel, you know, when Quicksilver came up and, like, was immediately taken away so soon by the end of the film?
I was shocked.
Yeah, it was a ballsy move on Marvel's behalf to kill the character off. And, like, one of the little things I always go with is the whole, did you see the body? You know the character's dead.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the body. We know the character's dead.
It's like Swiss cheese.
Yeah, so it definitely came off as a big surprise, like, that it even happened in the first place. Why would you kill off a character like that? But in all honesty, you know why they did it. It's mm-hmm. a fuck you to Fox.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, do you think they're ever going to utilize Scarlet Witch in the X-Men movies? Because they have the rights to her as well.
They did.
They have
shared, she was a little child in it.
They have shared custody of the character.
Yeah.
So
they get her on weekends.
Mom... weekends, and by week, well, no, it's during the week where the parents just don't pay attention.
Was what's his name in Days of Future? Oh yeah, he was. Quicksilver was in Days of Future's Past.
He was in Days of Future Past, and he was in Apocalypse.
That's right.
So I think the thing is with this, it'll be interesting to see how they bring the character back, because you can have the character in just one film, you know, especially a character of that caliber. You can't have him only in one thing. You got to, you know, get your money's worth out of the character, at least maybe another film or another film after that. But I just like the idea that they're even considering something with this character, you know, like, we may bring him back, we may utilize him, because he was the guy who played him was really good. And in all honesty, was he, you know, as good as the guy who plays Quicksilver in the X-Men films? No, but he still was. He had his own take on the character
mm-hmm.
with a thick Russian accent.
Yeah,
you know, so I just think it's going to be, it's interesting stuff. And I mean, like, you know, they're utilizing all these different characters in the Marvel Universe, and they still haven't utilized the Netflix or television characters in the big screen, you know? Like, the only character you can really say is Coulson, and does that really count? Because he originated in the films.
Yeah.
And now they're saying, you know... Well,
Samuel Jackson made a cameo.
Yeah, but characters created for the TV shows, yeah, you know? You. Or, like, you know, developed through there.
What's her name? Robin.
Rob? Oh, but she was created again in the film. She was in Avengers. But, like, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio was going on in an interview saying the possibility of the Kingpin appearing in any of the Marvel films is very slim. Which is ironic, because the Kingpin is a big man. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. But, yeah, you know, I think the idea of, you know, not utilizing that character is a dumb mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I were talking, you know, on the ride here, maybe they could use him in Spider-Man. We don't know. Because the thing is this, was he a character created for Spider-Man? Yes. but more people associate him with Daredevil over the past, you know, X amount of years, you know?
I think, you know, a lot of times these guys will say, oh, I have no idea about that, and...
Yeah, they want to play dumb.
I see Kingpin get mentioned, like, shown in a newspaper, in a news report, or, right. or you know, I think I said this before, or just kind of, like, pop up at the end or something.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they mention a couple of these guys, like, because it's set in New York City.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and it's big, but not that big.
Because you still run into people. You know, I've run into friends while walking the streets of New York City. It's kind of entertaining. It's like, yeah. Like, I ran into a friend of mine, my friend John, like, who works at Verizon. I, like, see him on the street, and he's like, Peter, John, what the fuck are you doing here? I live here. Oh, okay. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, just the small, yeah, these characters will bump into each other, you know? Like, look at, you know, in the Marvel Netflix series, you have everyone linked in with Rosario Dawson's character.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if she's going to be involved in Iron Fist.
How funny it would be. I guarantee you she is. No, she is. They showed a clip or something from, not a movie clip, but like a still.
Yeah.
She was with next to a car with Denny Rand.
They need to bring,
they said she's like the Phil Coulson of Netflix.
I hope they involve those characters in the movie, in Infinity War, because they have to. They've built this, you know, whole universe up with those characters. They should be given the right to be on the big screen with them, because every single performance from these guys has been incredible. And it's kind of a slap in their face. Like, you know, it's like the slap in the face that, you know, DC is doing with the television stuff. Yes, there's the multiverses, you know, or multiple Earths, but... Man, that's just, it's shitty, you know, like Grant Gustin is a phenomenal Flash. Is he going to get, you know...
I wish he made it into the movie.
He was good, you know, utilize, what's his name?
I really would like to see him next to Affleck.
Stephen Amell, too, you know, he's a good actor, you know, for what he does. They're not doing it. They're not utilizing all these, you know, characters in there. Or, you know, these performers.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Maybe one day, maybe in like 20 years, DC will get their shit together and be like, you know what? Let's do this.
I love the fan art that I saw where it was like a Crisis on Infinite Earths poster.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That
cool.
is still
that's been around for a little while.
I love that poster though.
Occasionally, like, I'll add a couple more pictures in it from, you know, what's coming out and stuff.
Yeah, and I like even seeing in there they use the black and white film serial Batman in there. They threw him in there. That's fucking cool.
My dream is to see like a 1950s type of movie, like in 1920s, 30s, 40s, something like that. You know,
I'd like to see them do like a spy thriller for like, you know, one of these like companies.
Question.
I think The Question would be perfect. The Question, like, utilize that character.
Things ever. Because, you know, such low-grade movie character or comic characters that...
But Iron Man was a dud.
You're right.
Iron Man was a dud of a character for decades.
But I don't see The Question being, like, the next Iron Man.
No, I understand that. But, like, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, other obscure characters. Like, again, I'll go with the perfect one. The Guardians of the Galaxy. In all honesty, as a big fan of the characters, if you... like, prior to 2014, who would give a flying fuck about the Guardians? Genuinely.
I didn't even know who they were when I saw the movie announced. I had to, like, yeah. I knew who they were, but I had to...
You had to do research.
I had to search, like, who the hell's in the Guardians of the Galaxy again?
Yeah, and it's like, and it's
like
not
a,
even...
A raccoon.
Well, the funniest thing is that's not even the original iteration of the Guardians, you know? It's, like, the second version.
Yeah.
The B, like, not the B-team, because they're now the A-team, you know?
Yeah, it was so funny. Now everyone's like, oh, you got Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, you guys realize, like... 4 years ago, probably four years ago, someone said Guardians of the Galaxy. People have been like, oh.
It's still Star-Lord, man.
Yeah, Star-Lord. Who?
But, like, one of the things about it that I always find funny is the fact, you know, Groot, a character created for, like, you know, a 1960s horror comic, became a household name.
I am Groot.
That is bizarre, isn't it? Like, did you expect that? Did you expect to see, you know, T-shirts in Walmart?
I didn't expect people to be... My parents ask me... If they can borrow the movie Deadpool.
Yeah. See?
Can we borrow Deadpool?
My mom loves Deadpool.
Yeah.
She fucking loves Deadpool. I never expected that.
Hear my dad mention Weasel, be like, that guy Weasel's hilarious. I'm like...
Star in your own horror movies. That is by far, hands down, the best line in the whole fucking movie for me. You could star in your own line of horror movies.
Actually, did you see they're bringing back some of the characters from Deadpool 1?
Are they really?
Who's the guy, the taxi cab driver?
Yeah, I know. I remember him. He's coming back.
Sonic Teenage Warhead.
Makes sense.
Weasel.
Yeah, of course.
I don't Blind Al. Anything about his girlfriend.
Blind Al will most likely make an appearance. Leslie Uggams.
What about, what's his name? Hydra. What was his name? Steve or something?
Bob. But it won't be Hydra Bob because Hydra is a part of the Marvel Cinematic, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, going back,
Didn't he make a comment in the movie? Be like, yeah, I worked for these one group of guys a little while, then I quit.
Yeah. It's just, it's the subtle little references. I mean, they had a fucking finale on, you know, a helicarrier. Come on. You know, but the one thing that I find interesting about all this is the fact, you know, going back to the your idea of the question, I still think that's a rad idea, you know, a spy thriller. And, you know, speaking of spy thrillers, there's a certain actor who may very well, and I think he's very near and dear to your heart, you know.
Brosnan.
Yeah.
Here's Brosnan.
He's going, da-da-da-da. Anyway, he's going to be possibly playing Cable in Deadpool 2.
I think that's kind of cool.
I saw the picture. It's a huge jacked man and Ryan Reynolds sitting with,
you know. And they're all doing the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil thing.
Do you think it could? Do you think he could work? Like,
it would be more hilarious if he was in doing the see no evil and had one hand over his eye.
Oh my God! Yes, yes, I agree, 110%. That's perfect.
Just to mess with everybody.
That would be good. I like that. Yeah, I mean, like, there are so many characters that they could utilize in these things, you know, and like with.
I think it's weird if Pierce Brosnan might be Bond. I mean, Cable.
Yeah.
Leave that in there.
Yeah, it's fine. But, you know,
I wonder if they'll make a mention of it, that, he, you know, all the guys, different guys who played Bond be like, we could have got anybody. We could have got, you know, Sean Connery, George Lazenby.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, like, the fact, you know, I was talking to somebody about, you know, Brosnan possibly playing him, and their reaction was, but isn't he too old? I'm like, look at the character. You know, he's an older guy. He's like in his 40s or 50s. He fits the part perfectly. So the fact, you know, Taffin might be playing Cable one of these days is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
I know, and I was just saying, we were talking about on the way here, it's like, what voice is he going to do? Is he going to do an English accent?
He'll do an American accent because his son, he's the son of Scott Summers, you know?
Okay.
But I like the idea of this happening because of the fact, you know, he's going to be the perfect straight man to Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool, 110%. You cannot have a more straight acting, you know, a straight man actor than Pierce Brosnan, you know, who I'm going to have to learn how to properly pronounce his name because I keep fucking it up. But
it's going to be surreal if Brosnan's playing Cable.
The fact he's going to be in a comic book movie, like,
no, I hope it's true. I hope it's, or he might be playing the villain or something. I don't know.
He looks the part though. He 110% looks the part. I keep saying 110, but you know,
it's funny seeing him as Cable next to fucking Deadpool.
I think I'm going to feel so bad for his back because he's going to have to be carrying all those shoulder pads, all those gigantic guns and everything.
Or can CGI and make him, you know, big and bulky.
I could see that, in all honesty. Like, they're,
doesn't he have a metal arm, Cable?
Yeah, he's got the cybernetic arm through the techno-organic virus.
And he's got the eye.
Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of geeking out for me for this when I finally see the character hit the big screen. But I just think, you know, did you ever expect to see a Cable movie?
No. I never expected to see a Deadpool movie.
And the funniest thing is, you know,
there was always rumors of one, but
I mean, for crying out loud, Ryan Reynolds was writing that movie while working on Green Lantern. You know, that's how much he hated working on Green Lantern. He was working on his other, like, his dream project. Because the funniest thing is, like, he loved the character so much, they even acknowledged him, you know, in the comics. Mm. Like, they knew Ryan Reynolds was a Deadpool super fan, so they're like, hey, let's, you know, throw a little reference to him in our comic. They said, like, Deadpool looks like Ryan Reynolds mixed with a Sharpay.
Yep, I remember that.
So there's, like, little things like that, so.
Now, as we were saying earlier, they're bringing people back, and I read somewhere that they're not going to have any major X-Men characters in the movie.
Which is smart. It's, you know, you don't want to...
I wish you would add one, maybe, like, Cyclops appear for no reason.
But
for a reason, but, you know, just kind of have Cyclops in there.
Maybe like Cyclops going to a deli and getting a sandwich.
Yeah,
like something stupid.
Deadpool sprinting down the street and Cyclops is ordering a sandwich at Subway or something.
True, but I mean, like, the one thing with this is,
it would, like, oh, gotta get her ad in, and points at the Subway sign.
A tiny cameo is fine, but like if they were, you know, like a big, you know, deal cameo, you know what I mean?
Like Logan?
Yeah, so like it can't be like, you know, to distract from the movie where you're like, wait a minute, it was so-and-so, and then you're just thinking of that the entire time, mm-hmm. You know? But I like the idea that, you know, they're going for, like, more, like, Z-level, you know, mutants.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I think the possibility we may... Like, you know who
on Fall Off Boy.
Who, you know who I want to see?
Is he X-Men?
I don't know.
Squirrel Girl would be funny
to see. No, Squirrel Girl is Marvel Cinematic.
Oh, she's not an X-Men?
Nope.
I always thought she was an X-Men.
Nope.
Weird.
But the one I'd love to see is, like, Marrow.
Okay.
The one, you know, who has the bones protruding.
Yep.
Like, the random mutants that they threw in Marvel versus Capcom... You know, just those random Z-listers. Mm. But, like, you know, maybe, like, I want to see maybe Omega Red. Omega Red would be friggin' cool to see.
A couple of the Weapon X guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, and they did tease,
maybe
like,
bring back Blob.
They did tease the Weapon X people in Deadpool.
Yeah, they did.
So
I thought Mera was in Deadpool.
Yeah, she was, but like, I want to see, you know, maybe her get more of a part, like me, because we don't know who the villain is. She could be the villain. You never know.
Yeah, or Sabretooth.
Oh my God! Yeah, like people like that. That would work.
Imagine how cool it'd be if they brought back Liev Schreiber. What's his name?
Yeah, Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, Liev Schreiber, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's... Tweet us how we pronounce the name if we got it right.
Or they even brought back Tyler Mane. Imagine they...
Oh, my... Yes, and it would be, like, just a reference also, again, to, you know, the whole... Which timeline are we in? McAvoy or Stewart? You know, like, something like that. Or even better, like, bring in, you know, Liev Schreiber, the one... He was the one who played him in...
Origins.
Well, yeah. Maybe, like, oh, no, not you, not you, not you. Get away from me. Like, you know...
Have him be like, I thought your mouth was stitched shut.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, just like, you know, acknowledge how much of a dud that movie really was. Because, man, that movie sucked.
God.
How do you fuck up a character like that? Again.
Honestly, everyone was, like, blown away. They thought it was a joke that Deadpool had Baraka claws and his mouth was sealed shut. They're like, wait, is this a joke?
Yeah, it's...
Because they thought, you know, oh, Deadpool, ha, ha, ha. But, like, no. This is actually part of the movie.
Not Deadpool, ha, 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 Deadpool, no,
remember,
no, no, no.
Do you remember what your reaction was when you saw Deadpool like that?
I wasn't a Deadpool fan at the time, but when I watched the movie, eventually after becoming a Deadpool fan...
I wasn't that big of a Deadpool fan.
I never knew the character. I never knew the character. Like, I didn't get introduced to the character until a year after the movie came out.
So you would have been infuriated.
If I had been exposed to it earlier, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's one of those... It's... Yeah, I just think... They botched that character badly.
For no reason. They're just like, you know what? Fuck you guys. We're ruining Deadpool for you.
Yeah, I mean, they again, you know...
Ryan Reynolds, some interview said when he read that part, his jaw dropped.
Yeah, because I was...
He said he got up and walked up to somebody and said, is this a joke?
Because that's a character he was so passionate about. Yeah,
he literally asked, is this a joke?
I think the problem is, you know, it's studio interference. Like, they feel they know it's best, yet they really don't. And, like, that's why right now I'm kind of happy with the lack of, like, we'll probably see it within a year or two, but the influence based on the success of Deadpool with R-rated superhero movies, comic movies, because we haven't seen anything so far, you know what I mean? Like, we have the...
We have Logan coming out.
But that is a movie you really have to make as an R-rated film. But, you know, like, Suicide Squad tried to get as much as it could with a PG-13 rating. But again,
hunka hunka
hunka hunka. But you know,
Jared, give us a line.
Hunka hunka.
Okay, good.
That
let's make another movie.
It isn't as bad as it is, but it's one of those movies I've attempted to watch and I can't.
Jared, can you do an impression of a person doing a Joker impression that's not so good at it?
Hunka hunka.
Oh, this is gold. People are going to love hate this movie.
But yeah,
I mean, Harley Quinn solo movie.
Hey, she was fine. She was fine.
Was she fine or was she fine?
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I liked, you know, Margot Robbie and that. She actually got the character. You know, she's one of those, like, obsessed, I guarantee, over the character, you know?
Mm-hmm. Read everything, watched everything.
Yeah, so, I mean, whereas, you know, Leto was just trying to be a gangster version of an anarchist.
And it's shitty. It was shitty.
Anyway... So
Supernova?
Yeah, they're saying right now, based on the title alone, that it's going to be, you know, in regards to the Dark Phoenix saga.
Okay.
Which, hey, I'm down for. Dark Phoenix saga is considered one of the best X-Men stories for good reason, you know?
I agree.
But...
Every time Jean Grey's in a movie, they have to, you know, show her possibly becoming Dark Phoenix.
Well, people were already bitching, saying it's too early to do Dark Phoenix. And I'm like, not really, when you think about it, because Dark Phoenix... was done in the third X-Men movie. This is being done in the fourth of the new series. They're giving it time. They're building.
I wish they would just bury the movies and just
start new,
restart.
Yeah, but they already did that with First Class. First Class was the reboot.
I mean, like, you know, the meme, give it back to Marvel.
Yeah, but the thing is this: out of the three movies so far, First Class, Days of Future Past, and the other one, Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Only one hasn't been good.
Oh yeah,
they're on a good track record right now. But the thing is, you know, you have The Wolverine, which was an okay movie.
Parts of it were cool.
It wasn't mind blowing, but it was an okay movie.
I think this rated R movie is going to be the Wolverine movie we've all been waiting for.
Well, as you've said, you know, the early, you know, screenings, people said it was a good film. I'm so I this again, that's my film I'm hyped for. I'm not really as hyped for this as like I'm not really as hyped for Guardians as I am Logan. But I'm like torn. Even.
There's a couple movies like Spider-Man, Logan, Guardians.
Spider-Man, I'm indifferent.
Justice League, I'm honestly not letting myself get excited for Justice League.
I'm still excited for Justice League. I've watched the trailer quite a few times.
I refuse to watch the trailer multiple times. I'm just going to go in with it and not expect to see Justice League Unlimited type of thing.
With Logan, you're talking to a guy who has watched the Logan trailer, both versions, multiple times. And I'm actually beyond excited for...
You've seen like the Lego versions and you've seen...
I've watched the regular one. And okay, like,
someone made a claymation. There's all kinds of... I like when people take...
Logan, trailers. What have you done? But like, you know, I'm excited for... What's it called? I'm excited for it for, you know, the upcoming trailer that's going to be dropping this Thursday, you know? Because...
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so... I think the idea, you know, that it's even, you know, it's the last trailer. Like, they've only really released two trailers.
No, one.
This is going to be the second trailer. Yeah, there's been only two trailers.
That's cool.
They never really do that for these films. Like, you get, you know, multiple trailers, like three, four.
I think they're catching on, though, because remember, people used to complain that they show so much in the trailers. Now they're just showing these cryptic trailers.
And they did show, you know, Hugh Jackman put up this image with the plot synopsis.
Yep. And they show a scene where he's holding a shovel at a grave and he's all bloody. I guarantee you they did that. So people like think it's, that's Professor Xavier who's burying.
And it's smart.
Because I guarantee you it's not Professor Xavier.
Keep the audience guessing. That's what you have to do.
But then again, there's going to be people like, oh, it's not Professor, it can't be Professor Xavier. They wouldn't show that scene. Then all of a sudden, yes, it is Professor Xavier getting buried.
Yeah, when you're, you know, a studio like that, you have to keep it as vague as possible. You want, you know, the audience saying, is it so? Are we sure?
My favorite thing to do now, going away from this for a second, is go back and look at all the Negan breakdown trailers.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And if you look right here, you can tell that it's definitely Michonne who gets killed.
And why the fuck would it be Michonne? Like, if somebody thought that, you know?
Yeah, or if you look right here, you can see that in Negan's eyes, that it's Eugene.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I'm sorry, like, you just got me mentally on like a little thing right now with Michonne.
I was looking up something the other night, and you know, sometimes YouTube will show like things you watch it again. And I was like, because I used to, you know, watch a couple of the breakdown videos, and I'll be like, wow. I said, people put time, these videos are like 20 minutes long, you know, circling things. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the level of obsession with a fandom, you know?
Yeah, they have a legion of people who follow it.
It's crazy. It's a legion of doom.
You know? Or a legion of Legion in X-Men movies.
A legion of Negan.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. We could have gone with that.
That is cool. They do all call themselves Negan.
So, but yeah, they're saying right now, you know, with the upcoming FX series Legion, it will not be linked to the Marvel or the X-Men movies.
Okay.
Which I'm down with. Give it its own identity. Give it its own, you know, feel. Because I've watched the trailer a few times and it does have its own unique feel to it. It's different. You want, you know... Because that's, you know, with Deadpool, like, Deadpool has its own feel, but it's still a part of that, mm-hmm. whereas this, it's just going to be something completely different.
It's funny, because Deadpool knows he's not part of it, but he acts like he's a part of it kind of thing.
Well,
it's like he acts like these famous people are his friends when they're really not.
It is a part of it, you know? It is a part of the movie, but the thing is, like, you know, that universe, but, like, people don't realize that Deadpool's a part of the X-Men movie universe. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's a self-referential kind of movie, you know? Like, I've had conversations with a friend of mine, and he's like, no, it's not a part of the movie. So I'm like, no, it is. Yeah. That is. And they're like, no.
Colossus.
But, like, they'll say, it doesn't say X-Men on the cover. So? Did you know Captain America is a part of the Avengers? It doesn't say the Avengers on it, but it's a part of the Avengers.
We have to start doing
it.
Avengers, Captain America, Avengers, Thor.
Yeah, it's going to be that. Like, people, oh, no, it's not that. Then why does it say it on the package? Come on. So, I like that idea, you know, that...
Yeah, it keeps it fresh.
And it gives its own identity.
Then again, we were just saying that we'd like to see DC shows appear in the movies like Stephen Amell.
Yeah, Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell.
And, you know, Grant Gustin and people like that. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
It works for certain things, doesn't.
And they're saying, you know, like they may do, I think they're saying right now, like Batman might be a part of, you know, those, you know, that Arrowverse. Like they may bring him in, but a different actor. Which, hey, you know, they're doing with Superman.
Yeah.
Doing with Superman, might as well, you know, give, you know, have the other half of World's Finest.
I concur. They mentioned them, Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, and they've mentioned, you know, the different cities in, you know, the DC universe. Bring up, you know, Fawcett City or whatever it's called, you know, stuff like that. I just think there's, who would you, you know, want to bring into, you know, the FX series Legion from the movies? But like a TV version of it.
And like a TV version of, from a movie character, a comic character?
Yeah, like in with Legion, it would be like, you know, like let's say, I'll go with mine. I would bring in a version of Deadpool into that.
Okay.
But I would be play, it would be played by somebody else.
Oh, yeah, I would like to see them maybe like in the Arrowverse bring in like a version of Aquaman or someone.
Right. Yeah, that could work. I mean, like, I like the idea right now thinking with the Legion idea. If you've ever seen what the comic version of Legion looks like, he has this obnoxiously stupid high hair.
I've seen that.
And the character doesn't. I'd love to see, you know, a Deadpool version go, where's the high and tight? You know, something like that, you know? But there's, like, I don't know. I mean, I think the idea of, you know, separating it from everything is a good idea. It's, it makes, you know, it's a, its own universe.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're also saying right now, you know, that they're doing an animated Spider-Man film.
Okay. But
it's going to be separate from everything. It's going to be a Miles Morales film. Which, hey, again, I love the character Miles. I think he's a fantastic character. Well written. Brian Michael Bendis does a phenomenal job when he works on that character. Because everything with that run of Spider-Man is like considered one of the best. And for good reason, you know? But I think the idea of doing an animated film, why not? Why not?
Do it.
And but the thing is this. How are you going to address the elephant in the room where what led to Miles becoming Spider-Man? Mm-hmm. What led to that character becoming Spidey?
Yeah, well, are you asking me?
Yeah. Like, let's, do you know?
Yeah, he just, Peter Parker got murdered.
Right. And yeah, you know, you got to address the elephant in the room with that. You want to, you know, acknowledge, okay, he was murdered? Oh, shit. And then you, like, I think the idea of, you know, a world, a country mourns the loss of Peter Parker, and then you see this kid go, I'm going to take up the mantle. You're fucking nuts. Don't do it. That's disrespectful. Like something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And they, you know, they've announced the directors, they've announced the producers and everything. So give it, you know, give it a chance. I mean, like, that's going to be one of those movies that I think is going to be a sleeper hit.
Mm.
I think it's going to be one of those, like, I'm not going in excited for it right now. Yeah. We haven't seen anything, obviously, but I'm not, whatever, you know, it's a movie. I don't care. But they're also saying, you know, in regards to, you know, Hanks. Movies, oh. You know, with DC's end. Because there's not really that much DC talk this week. Although, I guess we can kind of bring it up there, like saying right now that there's little... Yeah.
Green Lantern.
Well, before movie. We get to that, little faith in Wonder Woman and the Justice League film, apparently. You were saying that they're going on saying it's not turning out that well. I know I remember seeing that internal memo thing about, you know, Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, like... It's just like everything else. It's, you know, sloppily edited and everything, which disappoints me because that's, you know, a character I want to see. And, but, you know, hearing Justice League when you told me that, that, you know,
yeah.
At the collar, you know, I'm kind of nervous. I don't want it to suck, you know? Like, what did you hear exactly?
About Justice League?
Yeah.
I just heard it's very poorly put together and Batman v Superman is going to look 10 times better than Justice League.
Because I like, you know, the...
They said basically it's just a bunch of grumbling men and, you know, remember in Fantastic Four, the original one, how they all just argue and bicker the whole time?
Yeah. Well, that's the point of the Fantastic Four. They're a family. They fight.
Well, they said Justice League's the same way. They just can't get along, can't get along, can't get along. Oh, Superman's alive.
Mm. I mean, I'll give it a chance when I see it because, like, still, like, regardless, I'll still watch these movies. You know, it's one of those things.
How much do you want to bet they have a crossover with the Watchmen in the end of it?
I'd like to see that.
Barry's running, all of a sudden, you've seen like the comedian's
the
pin or something.
The pin fly out. That'd be cool. But I mean, like, save it for, like, you know, maybe Justice League 3 or something. You know,
that'd be cool.
Build it up, like, you know, let it boil a little. You know, but you know, going with, you know, the DC movies, they're saying right now a Green Lantern Corps movie is going to be happening, and it's going to be featuring Hal Stewart and Hal Jordan and John Stewart. There we go.
Comedy Central's John Stewart.
I feel I should be kicked out of the room right now in the Green Lantern cave, but you know, yeah.
You want to let the good people know who's directing that movie?
It's not going to be directed by him, but it's going to be written by David S. Goyer. Now, you know, if you've listened to the show in the past, you know the name David S. Goyer as the guy who has written quite a few movies in the DC universe. He's also known as the guy who wrote Blade.
He's not known to be a fan of our community either.
Yeah, he's He's openly said in the past that if you know who Martian Manhunter is, you're a virgin, and he feels that it would be really fucking funny if the Hulk and She-Hulk fucked.
Well,
they're cousins.
I know a lot about Martian Manhunter. He's not my favorite character, but he's one of the probably my top 10 favorites.
Right.
And I have a kid.
So
I prove you wrong, bitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yeah, so he's going to be involved with this, but they're saying right now it's going to be, I believe it's him and Geoff Johns working on it together, I believe, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, so it makes sense.
And Geoff Johns has very good, very, very good background with Green Lantern.
Not just very good background, he loves the character. Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, that's why the quality control of stuff with Green Lantern and The Flash has been very good, because why? He's had his hand in both.
Yep.
That's why if they ever make a Justice Society of America comic, or a movie, I mean...
We talked about that once before.
You know he'll be involved heavily, and like, yep, he'll be involved with the quality control.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, you know, I'm apprehensive because the idea of what it is, I'm all for it, but the execution. They're saying the movie would be like...
Lethal Weapon in space.
Yes. Yeah.
Then again, I said before that the buddy cop movie might be fun.
I like the idea of a buddy cop movie. I don't like that it would be under, you know, Warner with DC.
Mm. That Stewart and Jordan are totally different Green Lanterns.
Right.
I mean, like, attitude-wise.
And that works.
I mean, John Stewart's former Marine. Hal Jordan's a cocky test pilot.
Yeah, that works. That works, you know, for their dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if you were in charge, if you were to utilize this buddy cop storyline, and since you're a massive Green Lantern fan, mm-hmm, what storyline would you want to go for to utilize the both of them together in this buddy cop style?
I think they would have to do something original.
Okay.
Maybe have them go on a mission together to...
The first mission together in space.
Yeah, kind of investigate the color spectrum. You know, the emotional spectrum.
And you acknowledge this whole, like...
Maybe have Sinestro be the big baddie, and maybe have Atrocitus.
You have to. You have to utilize, because who is... Out of every, you know, one of the Green Lantern's villains, who does he really fight?
Sinestro.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I like your idea of the color spectrum for one reason. Because,
they're
in
not
fact,
bad guys. They're just different views.
But what I like with the idea of, you know, you teasing the color.
Backhand.
But what you do is, you know, you're teasing with the color spectrum. You're letting the audience know, hey, there's a lot more deeper into this. We're not going to go all the way in, but
and a lot of people only know Green Lantern as maybe one guy. They don't, right, know that there's thousands of Green Lanterns.
They, like, again, you know, it's either John Stewart or, you know, Hal Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know, you know, Guy Gardner. They
Kyle
don't.
Kyle Rayner.
Or, you know, Gnort.
Tomar,
you know,
Ray. Kilowog.
You know, they don't. Yeah, they don't know these, yep, characters. So I like the idea, you know, like, you're teasing so much in one film, and then you can build its own universe in that way, you know?
Mm.
Like, If I think it'd be funny if they just say, fuck it, like, abort everything except a Green Lantern movie, and they make a Green Lantern cinematic universe. I think that'd be fucking cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, because then you could do, you know, a Red Lanterns film, a Blue Lanterns film, Yellow Lanterns, all these people.
I think a
Yellow Lanterns film would be fucking cool. It would be everything Suicide Squad should have been.
I agree.
You know, but we're not being paid by them, so we don't know.
We're not yet.
Yet.
Hire us. We'll make a hell of a Green Lantern franchise for you folks.
And, you know, speaking of, you know, different film franchises, right now Disney is saying that they're going to be, you know, doing a live-action Dumbo.
Yes, I heard this. Tom Hanks is the ringmaster.
Yeah, I like the idea, because how often do you really see, you know, good old Thanks as, you know, a bad guy in anything? You don't, mm, really. And he's such a nice...
He did play Walt Disney.
He did play a Nazi then, didn't he?
No, he did.
I didn't say that. Anyway, what's it called? The idea that, you know...
I don't think there's a role Tom Hanks can't play.
I mean, Tom Hanks is a guy who somebody walked up to him at a gas station and said, I hated your movie. He goes, you did? Yeah, I didn't like the movie. Oh, you went to go see in the theater? Yeah, I did. He pulled out his wallet and gave him his money back, the refund.
Wow.
Tom Hanks is that chill of a dude. That's why I've always been a big fan of him. I always will be. Unless, you know, he, like, pants me in public or something. And then I'd still be like, oh, Tom, why'd you do that to me?
Or he was like, I like Nazis. Like my character I played.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I like the idea, you know, give him, like, this obnoxious character of the Ringmaster. And I think, you know, we're going to see...
Has Tom Hanks ever played a villain?
Tweet at us, people.
Besides Walt Disney?
Tweet at us, people, at the AE Podcast. I don't think he has.
Wow.
Like maybe, you know, when Woody becomes a bad guy in elements of Toy Story, we don't know.
Murders children with his pull string.
Oh, yeah. You know, just strangles them to death. But there's a snake in my boot. Anyway.
You're my favorite nip, baby.
Oh, my God. That's the final words a child hears. Jesus, that's fucking chilling. Woody. Anyway.
It's called the movie Woody.
The Woody Man. Ugh, not the Bye-Bye Man, the Woody Man. Not the pee-pee poo-poo.
Iris Disney.
But yeah, like, I think the idea of what they're going to do with him in the film, they'll give him like a fat suit or something, and that'll be funny to see fat Tom Hanks. Because we've never seen that.
No.
So, I think that's a good idea, but you know, speaking of not so good ideas, M. Night Shyamalan wants to direct an episode of Stranger Things next season.
So it's going to be confusing, and at the end you'll figure out what's going on.
Or it'll be good for the first few minutes, and then no one will give a shit at the end.
So good.
Like his career.
Go two ways.
I mean, in all honesty, like, he has good movies.
Yeah,
all
I mean,
three
I'm
of them.
I'm complaining, but yeah, his movies are...
His track record is not good.
No.
Like, I mean, Unbreakable is still one of those movies I wish they made a sequel to it, even now, like, especially with Superhero Mania.
Maybe that's why he hasn't.
He wanted to. He wanted to for years, and then, just, like, it just got shelved. Like, they... Yeah. I think, you know, Unbreakable, like... I know we're shitting on him and, you know, the idea of him doing this with Stranger Things, but if you're out there, give it a watch, Unbreakable, one of my favorite movies of, like, you know, the past 20 years. Like, really, you know, solid film. I knew the twist ending ahead of time, but, like, when it happens, it hits you in that kind of way, like, oh, shit, this has been a superhero movie this whole time? Weird. If you haven't seen it, yeah, I just spoiled it for you, but, like, just go in, you know, ignorant, you know, maybe, like, shit-faced or something, I don't know. But, yeah, it's
such a superhero movie that Samuel Jackson's in it.
It's a super... Yeah.
As a zany character.
But it's like, it's a superhero movie that you don't know is a superhero movie. And yeah. That's cool.
You know, I watched Miss Peregrine's Home for Children the other night.
Yeah, and you were telling me one day, like,
if
that...
If they did X-Men like that, it'd be fucking cool.
And they are doing an X-Men series, like a solo X-Men series. So I think that's going to be... It's going to be its own television universe with X-Men, which I'm down for. Completely down for. But yeah, you know, now before we go, the final topic at hand... The Nintendo Switch just got its lineup revealed.
They're making a new Mario. It looks ridiculously cool.
They're doing Zelda.
And they said this map, they showed like a comparison. It's bigger than the Skyrim maps, like four times bigger than
a
Skyrim.
And they're doing a Skyrim game. Like, yes. But it's not going to be the Game of the Year edition, so it's going to be all the DLC gone. And
I never played Skyrim, but I know their maps are big, like Fallout.
Oh, yes.
But they said this is like four times bigger than a Fallout map and Skyrim.
And, like, they're saying the system is going to cost $300 American.
That's not bad.
I think the games are going to be $60 a piece. Hmm. So it's got to be, you know, the cliche, you know, how it is now.
Do you think this is what's going to put Nintendo back on the map?
In all honesty, no.
No?
I
you
don't.
Think they're done?
No, they're not done. There's always going to be a Nintendo. Demand for Nintendo. Mm-hmm. But the thing is this. I think Nintendo's also starting to realize now the nostalgia. Because why do you think, you know, you have the, you know, NES Classic?
Yeah.
That's why, like, and you know they will do a Super Nintendo Classic.
Which
they
I
have
probably
to.
Will get.
Well, if you can find it.
Yeah.
Much like how it is with the NES Classic where no one can fucking find that thing. Or if you want to, you know...
Does it even exist?
If you want to do... if you want to, you know, do like a hostage negotiation with your childhood. All right, I want my childhood back. I'll give you $850, all single bills, not marked. Here you go.
If I was ever a millionaire, I think I would buy one of those... $500 systems and just give them all pennies.
Oh yeah, like with a wheelbarrow, and they have to give you back your wheelbarrow.
No, I'd put it like in a Scrooge McDuck pool and push him in it.
No, you know what you do. You give them pennies covered in butter.
There you go, butter pennies.
Fuck them anyway. I fucking hate those assholes.
On that note,
but yeah, like real quick with the Nintendo Switch, I'm excited for it. Like I do want to get
it. We call this episode Butter Pennies.
I do like the idea of the NES Switch with the whole, you know, the tablet screen and, you know, you can bring it on the go with you. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, I feel like they're trying too many innovative ideas. And, like, it's going to cost, like, a lot of money for, like, you know, controllers for this, that, the other thing. Like, if you lose the controllers, you have to buy them again, you know?
That sucks.
Obviously, you know, but, like, this is why, like, I felt so bad for the people who own the Wii U. How many people do you know own the Wii U? I know one.
I know one.
We know that person.
It's probably the same person.
Yeah, it is. And like...
E?
Yeah. We... Like, it's such a shame because like that was a system that could have done some cool stuff because it could have utilized that little screen.
They put games on it?
Of course they did. all, you know, five of them. But, like, you know...
You heard everything about it and you didn't hear anything about it.
I know... I think the last...
Kind of like Pokemon Go.
And, like, I knew people that, you know, didn't get the system because they were waiting for the new Zelda. And they said, fuck it. They're not going to release a Zelda. I'm going to sell it. Mm. And they did. And it's... Yeah. It's a shame.
Come on, Nintendo.
So now, before we wrap this episode up, we want to introduce our interview with Hollywood legend Sid Haig.
Horror legend.
Horror legend, sci-fi legend, and I would say as well with the Batman stuff, comic book legend, comic book television legend, Sid Haig. And that interview begins
now.
Right?
Now?
Yes.
Okay. Play it.
All right, gentlemen, how about we let a real professional handle this? What up, though? This is KG Kevin Gill from The Kevin Gill Show and keeping it 100 with Conan, and that's on top of being a black belt in advertisement reading. Before we get to the interview with the legendary horror icon Sid Haig, I'm going to have to interrupt this podcast because Mike and Pete both neglected to mention this show is brought to you by Audible. Just go to audibletrial.com/audible. Audibly exquisite and start your free 1 month trial and choose from thousands upon thousands of audiobooks. By signing up, you get a free audiobook of your choosing and you help support this show. On top of that, you can cancel it at any time. What's that website, you ask? It's audibletrial.com/audibly exquisite. Be sure to send me a shout and follow me on Twitter at OG Kevin Gill. Give me a like on Facebook, KG Kevin Gill and Kevin Gill Show. And listen to The Kevin Gill Show every week for in-depth interviews with icons and upstarts of music, wrestling, and more, all recorded in person. But enough of my gaga. Now it's time for Audibly Exquisite's interview with legendary horror icon Sid Haig.
We are joined right now with Sid Haig of the movie House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, among many, many others. You have an illustrious career, sir.
Well, I've been doing this for 55 years.
And first off, with House of a Thousand Corpses and stuff like that, how did you get into connection with Rob Zombie?
I got a call from my agent, and he said, okay, here's the deal. Said, oh, what now? And he goes, go to this building on Wilshire Boulevard, sign a letter of non-disclosure, take the script home and read it. If you like it, the part's yours.
Right. And it was the character of Captain Spaulding.
Yes.
Now, before the movie came out, a lot of people out there were a little hesitant because they didn't think he could do something like this because, you know, with his music background and whatnot. And he blew people away with his films, you know?
Well, he had directed... five or six music videos.
Right.
Okay, so, and that's why that film has got a kind of music video feel to it, you know? But he learned quickly, and by the time he got around to Devil's Rejects, you know, he knew what he wanted, and he had the terminologies down and all that stuff so that he could communicate better with his crew.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even, you know, you say with music videos, even like in the sequel, Devil's Rejects. Devil's Rejects. They, you know, the Freebird scene, you know, especially, just absolutely insane.
The studio didn't want him to do that. I said, that song's 9 minutes long, okay? What are you going to do for 9 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Goes, that's up to me, all right? And he went ahead and shot it. So.
Yeah, and it's such a cool, you know, usage of the song. And whenever I, you know, when people talk about that song, they always bring that up, too, you know?
Nobody will listen to that song the same way again.
Exactly. Ever. Now, you know, with the character of Captain Spaulding, you know, the face paint, the grease paint, whose design was that? Was that yours? Was it somebody
on? No, it was Rob's.
Rob's?
Yeah.
What, like, was the inspiration for... Did he tell you what was the inspiration behind it? Because it was beyond creepy. So, you know, but it worked so very well. Now, in addition to your work, you know, in horror, you were also in, you know, the original Star Trek series 66, and you were also in Batman 66. What was it like getting involved in those series?
Well, the Star Trek was their first season, and that was another deal where the part was just offered to me, and
right.
And it was a hot show, and I said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Okay.
And the interesting thing is, you know, the series this year was the 50th anniversary of the series, of both series. So to be involved, you know, in not just one of the biggest shows in sci-fi history, you're involved in one of the biggest shows in comic book history.
Yeah. The Batman episodes, at that point in time, actors were killing one another to get on that show.
Yeah.
And just so happened that in 1 week, I had a guest starring role in a different television series every night of the week.
Right.
Sunday through Saturday.
That's insane.
Okay.
Man.
So I figured, you know, I got to take out an ad on this. So
right.
I placed an ad in The Reporter and Variety.
Right.
And the producer of Batman called his casting director in and he said, what the hell are you doing? This guy's working every show except mine. Get his ass in here.
Right.
Okay? So they called and they wanted me to come down, and I went down there, and he handed me the script, and he said, you know, go in that room and read it, and any part you want is yours.
Nice.
Except for King Tut, because that was already set.
That's, again, it's still insane just to, you know, to be... That, you must have had a busy schedule. It's insane schedule.
It was insane. I was working, like, all the time. And trying to raise a family at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I missed... When my kids were young, I missed 3 Christmases in a row. Because
right.
I was, like, in the Philippines or Mexico or someplace, you know. So it was kind of nuts from that standpoint. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Do you have any memories of working alongside Adam West on Batman?
Not really. It wasn't that he was standoffish or anything. It's just, you know, he would do his scenes, and then he had, you know, other business stuff that he was doing. So
yeah.
He'd retire into his dressing room and take care of that, and then he'd pop back out and do another scene. And so he was back and forth, back and forth.
How about with Shatner and the late Leonard Nimoy?
Fantastic. Okay, everybody knows that Shatner is a big prankster.
Right.
Okay? Well, it just so happened that when we were shooting that episode, all of the series regulars were trying to quit smoking at the same time.
Wow.
And so they were chewing gum and eating candy and blah, blah, blah. And every time the director would holler action, okay, somebody's be chewing gum. And cut, get rid of the damn gum, okay? Driving the director crazy. So now we're cut to, like, 2 days after that. We're outside and we're working the big master scenes with all of the townspeople and all that stuff. So we had, like, 80 extras and the crew and everybody else. Shatner, at lunch, went around and gave everybody a piece of double bubble.
Right.
With the instructions that the first scene after lunch, when the director hollers action, okay, everybody turn to the camera and blow a bubble. I thought the director was going to have a coronary right there on the spot. I mean, I bet it was a crack up. You know.
Now,
Leonard's was so cool. I really miss him. Because I worked with him in Mission Impossible as well.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Now, over the course of 10 years, you got to work alongside Lon Chaney Jr., but also going, you know, kind of tied to Star Trek, you know, science fiction, George Lucas with THX 1138.
Yeah.
What was it like working alongside Lon for the movie Spider Baby?
It was amazing. The first 2 days, I was in awe. I really couldn't even speak to him, okay? Because as a kid, I used to, on Saturdays, I would go and watch him at the theater, you know? And now, all of a sudden, here I am working with him. It was like nuts. But when I calmed myself down and just, like, connected with him, he was so, so cool, and he became my mentor. He, you know, gave me very sage advice about what to do and what not to do, all of that stuff. And, I was so fortunate to be with him.
Now, you also worked alongside George Lucas. Did you see, like, that he would become as big of a deal in the entertainment industry as he has now, you know, with his creations of Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and whatnot?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he exuded that while we were working on that show. It was very strange. I was involved in the sequences that were in the prison, you know, the white space.
Yeah.
Okay. And we rehearsed that scene for a week and then took a week to shoot it, which was kind of avant-garde, really, you know, way to do it, because he would come in the morning and he'd say, okay, I want you guys to work on something like this.
Right.
Okay. And then he'd leave and come back in the afternoon and say, okay, show me what you got.
Yeah.
And so we'd do it, and he'd tweak it a little bit here and there, and he'd say, okay. And the next morning, we'd do the same thing all over again. So we were basically writing the script as we were going.
Right.
You know, so it was very cool.
Now, Sid, before we go, how can people get a hold of you on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, stuff like that?
I keep stuff simple, man. SidHaig.com.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, Sid, it was an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful con.
Right.
And now, once again, a major thank you to Mr. Sid Haig for being on the show.
You're welcome.
So, and once again, also a major thank you to Cliff Galbraith of Monsters and Robots for letting us be a part of that convention last year, finally being able to upload that interview. And now, once again, before we go, once again, go on patreon.com/audiblyexquisite. And you will be able to help support this here fine program. You'll be able to, you know, help out the show, send some shekels our way, help us out with, you know, server costs, hosting and everything, and all that good stuff. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/audiblyexquisite. Give us a like on there. Let us know what you're thinking of the show. Invite friends to like the page if you're ever so inclined. Also, go on Twitter, follow us at the AE Podcast, myself at Peter Melnick.
And at Mike_Norn.
You can find us on Instagram at audiblyexquisite. You can also find us on the worldwide interwebs at www.audiblyexquisite.com. And you'll be able to find all of our old episodes that are not on the RSS feed anymore. You'll find them on the website, free of charge to download. So also, let's see, is there anything else? That's really it, right?
No.
Yeah, I think that's
it. We're good. Let's go get pizza.
So, for Peter Melnick, I'm Peter Melnick.
And I'm Mike Norn, dinosaur enthusiast.
Have an audibly
exquisite week. Thank you.